This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, yes it is. Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Long weekend back, Johnny Lupinacci. How are you, my friend? Celebrating the 4th. First of all, put up your hands. I want to see if all your fingers are... Okay, nice.
Oh, yeah. I don't do fireworks, Tim. I mean, I enjoy watching them a couple of nights. Went to a ball game on Friday night. Saw some fireworks after that. You know, of course, we had barbecue and hang out with friends and family. And there were fireworks on the 4th. And, you know, we talked all week last week about being a patriot.
Yes.
And, you know, about, you know, supporting democracy and, you know, lessons that Timothy Snyder gave us in terms of 20 things we can learn from the 21st century about, you know, avoiding tyranny.
Tyranny, man. Come on. We're trying to get you right on that one.
So it was a great weekend. You know, here we are coming off of that. And it's Monday. It's great to be with you. You know, so let's go.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, I mean, first of all, though, too, Johnny, it's always great because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end that crazy, painful, hurtful voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And over the weekend, Johnny, you know, reminiscing, I started going through, I don't know, do you ever get hooked into like a YouTube kind of like tunnel where you're like, I got to see the next video. Okay. You're looking at me like, no, it's never happened.
I know what you're talking about. I avoid it because I don't like to get pulled into it, but I'll tell you, Tim, I do this with students. We do the, how many YouTube videos until the algorithm has us believing that there could be a flat earth. Right. Okay. So just to build kind of understanding around how misinformation and disinformation exists, and to understand that sometimes like the parents or the families of the children that are coming to our classrooms have been informed by misinformation, and really how easy it is to sort of build empathy around, hey, before you judge and you say, hey, that idiot that believes this, understand that the world we're in right now, we're only a few clicks away from a whole pathway, a whole algorithm that feeds you a lot of videos. So okay. I try to avoid it in my life, but I do know it exists.
Okay, but I didn't go down that hole. I just like, I get in there and something plays off the other. And I was in there looking at Save Our Schools because we had interviewed Beth Lewis from Save Our Schools Arizona.
Yep.
And up pops a remember when, and oh, well, you know what though? Jess, can you hit play on that real quick just so Johnny can hear what I was listening to?
My mom was a professor of early childhood education, and from the time I was in kindergarten, as she said, all the way through my high school graduation, I attended public schools. And I would not trade that education, that experience, for anything.
Did you get who that was there, Johnny Lupinacci?
I think I know, Tim. I think I know, and I love it. I love it. So tell me more about this, Tim.
That was Matt Damon. Matt Damon, Save Our Schools 2011 rally. And, you know, it popped up in my head. I wonder, you know, if we had Matt Damon's mom, I wonder what Matt Damon's mom would say to Matt now, 12 years later. Wait, there she is. Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to be here. And it's, oh, it's, boy, is it reminiscent to listen to that talk and think about that amazing march in 2011.
It was incredible. It just made me remember how unified we were around that. And I mean, Matt, he just delivered 6 minutes of just pure inspiration. But you know, it is now. It's over 10 years later. And we've said it, Nancy. I mean, where are we at this point? And if you were going to say something to Matt, you know, now, if he was going to do this speech again, would you give him new advice? What would you say to Matt?
Well, one thing I just want to say is I have a lot of appreciation hearing that. I actually listened to that talk again. And, you know, it is all about public education, the value of public education. He says, I would not be the person I am today if I had not had that education that fostered my creativity, my critical thinking. And it's made me who I am, and it's a lot of why I have success in the work that I do. And he believes that through. Somebody at the march said to me, did you write that for him or did he write it? And I'm like, are you kidding? He called me up. I was sitting on a bench there at American University. He read me the whole speech. I got tears in my eyes. I'm like, I'm so happy. This is what you feel, you know. But, you know, things have changed. They've changed so much since then, and they haven't. Okay. At the deeper level, the conservative education movement, which has had an increasing stranglehold on many aspects of education, has gained even a stronger foothold. That's the reality. I mean, if you look at the vouchers that have increased in many states, the charter schools increasing enrollments, the defunding of public education, and, you know, the lining up with the culture wars, I think has really fueled them too, because a lot of these voucher programs are starting because the conservative parents don't want their kids to hear about racial justice, LGBTQ issues, and so forth. So, you know, we're dealing with a more difficult situation than before, because in the beginning, when we had that SOS movement, we were unified. Actually, tens of thousands of people were there, mostly teachers, but parents and students also, who were feeling very strongly against standardized testing as the driver of education.
Right.
And against and pro public schools. That was sort of what was tying everybody together then.
Right.
And so now these things have become somewhat sadly normalized.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Standardized tests have become in many people's minds the way to assess the value of quality of education anywhere. So, you know, maybe someday we'll talk about that more, because Matt says in that talk that all the things he feels he learned that characterize his being could not be tested.
Exactly.
And that, yeah.
What I just thought about that too, because I mean, that's what brought me to that fight too, was, I mean, you know, this is how you and I, Nancy, we met. I mean, I had opted my son out of fifth grade right then, got invited to that tour, met you behind the scenes there after Matt's speech. And though, you know, here we are all these years later, and you say, I listened to that and I get excited. And I was like, boy, we were only taking on standardized testing right then. Yeah. And now as you kind of lay it out, it's like, okay, I'm not sure we won on that. Maybe not. But because you said it's become normalized, I think it's fallen out of view because the attacks now are so much more incredibly awful.
Yeah, they're awful, and they satisfy a certain element of conservatism that, you know, is as you know, the anti-CRT people and the anti all of the culture issues that upset them and that they want to parents to have control over. So it's a very difficult situation. I still think the message is that we have to organize you know, there we were organizing on a national level, and it was really thrilling to come together with that huge number of people. But as we slog on now, state by state, because now there are different legislative mandates in different states. So if one, you have Louisiana with the Ten Commandments on the wall, and you got Arizona and a lot of other states with ramped up voucher programs. Mm-hmm. And you've got online learning that we weren't seeing as much then. How many kids are just at home looking at a screen and getting an education? It's a very different climate. So how do we approach it as organizers?
I was thinking this, and Johnny, I'll let you jump in too, but what we've been saying now is to really recognize, and I like the way you pointed that out, and I'm sure Johnny did, this kind of state by state, but reminding people though, the stakes at the time we were saying high stakes testing, the stakes now are your local democracy.
Yeah, absolutely. And if,
okay, so that to me is that the organizing message to fight for democracy in Louisiana might be a little bit different than fighting for democracy in Oklahoma. It might be a little bit different in Wisconsin, but yeah. that public schools and democracy is what's at stake.
And I think it's good if we hold those two ideas in mind, that there's a unifying set of principles around democratic schools that we're fighting for. But the impediments to that are manifesting in a lot of different ways. Even science of reading that I talked with you about last month is another example, or curriculum control and punishing teachers for talking about racial justice or racial history or gender issues, you know. So we're seeing it pop up with a lot of different faces that can confuse people and make them think these are isolated issues, and they're not. They're all connected to one big issue of control and dismantling of public education.
Johnny.
Well, yeah, Tim, I mean, I agree with this wholeheartedly, right? Public education is a bedrock of a strong democracy. It's where we learn to be democratic citizens. It's where we learn to put democracy to action. So I couldn't agree more. And what a polarized moment we are in, not only with the culture wars, with landing too on, do we really value the importance of public education? And I think the three of us agree, and we're not alone in this. If we value democracy, then we value how we learn to be democratic citizens, and we need to invest and really, you know, really support public education. And that's key. You can't have one without the other.
Mm. I'm 100% with you. We have to support it, and we also have to support the kind of education that we know is going to cultivate thinking, participatory citizenry. And it's not going to be the controlled one that keeps people from knowing our genuine, truthful Howard Zinn people's history.
Right.
And it's not going to be the one that controls teachers and doesn't let them teach with all the creativity and inspiration that they bring to the job. And the forces are trying to do that. They're trying to water down the system to an extent that there isn't any more individual, free, independent, and strong free thinking.
Wow. Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page. Holy crap. So now you got it. We're going to put that down. You can send that to Matt, because the question was, what would Nancy say to Matt Damon now, all these years later? Dr. Nancy Carlson Page.
I'll send it to
you. Awesome. We love busting pencils with you all the time. Thank you so much.
One more. Do I have a minute to say something? Because I want to say.
You have 10 seconds.
I love busting pencils because you are helping the people who are working state by state to know what other people are doing and to organize at a bigger level, or at least understand that they're all connected.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Busted Pencils, fully led education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. Yeah, you can give us a call. Jump in there. Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, first segment. Always love busting pencils with her, Johnny. But we've got a great guest tonight, and I love the way that the guest here shows up on the show. Dr. Mike Moore, I'm just going to introduce him right away and be like, Mike, so the story of how Dr. Mike Moore comes onto the show. So you had listened to the interview we did with Jonathan Gurko about publicization.
Correct.
That then got me to get to the AQ, the National Teaching and College Conference. And I'm standing there in the between sessions looking at stuff, and I look at you and you look at me, and we make these eyes, and you come over and go, hey, do you mind if I sit here? And or we actually were standing there and eating dinner together. And then you went, wait. And I said, yeah, that's who I how do you remember this happening, Mike?
That's exactly right. I was doing some homework for my podcast with Jonathan, and I listened to your podcast, and then I saw that you were going to be at NHETC. And I said, this is the one guy that I have to find. And then how am I going to find this guy? There's 500 people here. And I was looking for a place to stand to eat. And then there was this guy just standing there. This is it. And I was like, you know, what is his name? And I look your name tag. I can't believe it. The one guy that I've been trying to find in this whole place is standing right here. That it was just a miraculous story. We were destined to meet.
Yeah, we were. So, Mike, I appreciate that story. So, Johnny, look at that, man. We get out there.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it.
And say that's one of the great things about the connections we make when we go to conferences like that. You know, you say people are listening, and I just got to be, you know, I was absolutely flattered because Mike dropped some serious praise on Busted Pencils, and I was just like, whoa, dude. All right. You're coming on the show, man, because but okay, so Mike, you though kind of come at this, Dr. Mike Moore, and we want to put this forward. Just I want to set this up a little bit because we were talking about this. You know, how you and I got to the show is, but I'm gonna say, remember when people, listener, you're out there, remember when you went to college and you got your course schedule and you went, oh, I'm taking Lupinacci's social education course, and I have to buy these five books or these three books, and you go to the bookstore and get them, or you don't get them. A lot of people have that memory of getting, that's how they got their books, with some kind of thing like that. Mike, you brought to my attention of this whole idea of potentially accessing course materials and how important actually getting the access to course materials is today, particularly, not that it wasn't important back in the day, but that really when we're looking at the success of college students, their access to materials can be the difference between whether they're going to be successful in college or not. And the whole accessing course materials is in and of itself a little bit of a contested space. Is that a way to say it? Or is there an advocacy? I mean, tell me about Mike Moore's vision of how students would get their college materials.
Sure. That's a great lead in. Thank you. And we think about course materials, like it's just a textbook. Like, what is it? What does it matter? And through my work in the course materials space and my research on course materials, we've started to understand that a textbook is not just a textbook. It is literally the key to success in higher education. It is how we get in the door to a class. It's the thing that can prevent us from getting into a class because we can't afford the material. So textbooks are essential to a student's success in higher education. And the cost of course materials over the last, I don't know, 50 years has been out of control. And we've seen it just rise. You know, there's nothing faster, growing faster in cost than textbooks, other than I think healthcare, right? So there's been the introductions of a couple of models in the last, I don't know, decade or so, where they're affordable access programs. They're programs that are aimed to reduce the cost of and increase access to course materials. So in these models, students simply register for their course and their course materials are provided to them on or before the first day of class. So there's no figuring out what I need. I don't have to go to the bookstore. I don't have to search the internet. I don't have to figure out where they're located if they're in the bookstore or the internet, or if I have the money to buy them because it's automatically charged to my bursar account. So it allows us to begin day one with materials. And my research and the research of a couple others are showing us that simply having access to materials can impact whether or not we will be successful in the classroom.
So Johnny Lupinacci, successful access class materials. I'm going to say you're a little bit more close to this because I haven't really had to put this forward because I've been in the administrative ranks for quite a few years, the last few years. And so my course materials, what do you want to say? My understanding of it has been a bit stymied.
Well, yeah, Tim, I mean, I think it's huge when we, you know, when we get feedback from our students pretty consistently on what works and what doesn't work for them as learners, it's always a good thing. And I can safely say, you know, over my two decades or so of teaching college students that consistently, and it's gotten a little better as like resources like Mike's talking about have become more familiar, and they're still not very familiar or frequent with, you know, instructors, but, you know, consistently students have said, and a large barrier to their learning is access to the course materials. And I know if you're a listener out there thinking like, how can that be? It's just one, the cost of education has gotten so high. So many of our students are, you know, having to make choices between, you know, where every dollar goes and the cost of resources for your class, for classes, if you're taking a full load of courses, right? you can be spending a couple grand in just textbooks and materials. And I know there's been some regulation put on like how much a particular course can require, but the cost of like, there's a, almost been a hidden cost for years that the students eat on top of their tuition is making sure they have the right books for class. And so what we also know is technology has changed a ton. There are all kinds of ways that we can get quality instructional materials accessible to our students for little to no cost to the student or additional cost to the students. There are things like, you know, course fees that can cover great resources. There are ways our libraries can invest better to support our instruction. But, you know, that's consistently been something my students for 20 years have regularly said, you know, and about 15 years ago, I started making a shift. And, you know, it was noted, I got more engagement from students when I had accessible materials, when I, you know, learned technologies that helped me bring everything together to one central location, reduce the cost of the point of access, right? Nothing out there in the world is free. Nothing quality is free. So helping be really transparent about what costs us what and how we get those materials, it's been huge. It's been a huge help. And I'll say, you know, it's been important to figure out, and we're talking all the time about the quality of instruction that every student deserves at every level. And for college professors, it's not as easy as just saying, hey, I'm picking the best readings. Here they are. Go get them, find them, bring them to class. There's a whole lot that happens in between there. So love the work that Dr. Mike Moore is doing. Love that we get to keep talking about it here tonight on Busted Pencils. Listener, if you want to join the conversation, you know, come on the call with the call in. Talk to Mike Moore, Tim and I, 855-752-4842. Bust some pencils with us when we get back.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest is Dr. Mike Moore, course materials. I'll give you this, course materials expert, access to the whole idea. You're in college, you sign up for a course, and typically with that course, you have to get a book, maybe not even a book, but all kinds of course materials. And boy, Mike, our meeting that we had in Minneapolis a couple of weeks ago just really brought this home to me, that saying that, you know, when students don't have access to those books, how challenging, yeah. Johnny, right?
I mean, yeah, it's frustrating. And I talk to students all the time at a variety of different, you know, types of institutions for learning. And it's common. They're just like, oh, what's one of the most frustrating things? And they're like, when the course materials aren't accessible. And it's across the board. And I said, what's an example of that? And so, well, I was in this one art history class, you know, and the book wasn't the right book. And they gave this, you know, this PDF out to us. And I could barely read it. And, you know, it was just hard to follow along. I just wanted to buy a book, but there wasn't a book. And then we had discussions and it was just all, it was more frustrating than the difficulty of the learning. And it was just, it was just in the way the whole time. And that kind of story is something I hear over and over. So I love this work, Dr. Mike Moore. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me here, guys. This is great.
So Mike, though, when you're talking about this, you know, access, and I'm just going to read a quote for you. Course materials interventions, and we want you to define what course materials interventions are not just about making course materials more affordable. They're about creating an educational environment where every student has an equal opportunity to succeed, regardless of their socioeconomic and cultural backgrounds. Mike, that draws the question, course materials interventions. What you talking about there, my friend?
You know, there is something, the models that have been put in place in the last 10 years are disrupting. They're stepping into the traditional, what I call find and acquire. Again, figure out what you need, where it's located, and if you have the resources to buy it. They're actively disrupting that to ensure that students have access. They're removing students from the course materials acquisition process and you can just go to class and be prepared. It doesn't matter if you have money. It doesn't matter if you have the cultural capital necessary from your family or from other lived experiences. You can just go to class. I worked in the books industry for 15 years on the front lines of students buying their course materials. I've been there holding the hand of the parent or the student who has to make the decision. Do I eat? Do I pay rent? Do I pay childcare? Or do I buy my textbooks?
Yeah.
These intervention models are removing that from the equation. And students can just go to class ready to learn. You know, I have my favorite quote is from Lester Frank Ward, his American Polymath in the 1800s. He said, "The thing that is rare is opportunity, not ability." And that's how I look at these intervention models. Students have the ability to do great work and be successful, but they don't have the opportunity to do it. Mm-hmm. And these are removing institutional structural barriers so students can demonstrate that ability in the classroom. You know, we know from the literature that course materials are preventing students from pursuing their American dream. Someone wants to be an engineer. I go to the bookstore and the engineering book's $300. But I look just to the left and there's an English book. It's $5. I reach in my pocket or I look at my bank account. I got $15 in my bank account. What am I going to do? I can afford my English book. So why don't I just switch majors to be an English major without thinking about what the future implications? So these models are increasing access and reducing the cost of courses. So students can choose to go into these majors that fulfill their dream of being whatever it is that they want to be.
Johnny.
Well, yeah, I love that, man. There's nothing I hate more. And listener, if you agree, you can call in and, you know, and echo your experience or your thoughts, 855-752-4842. But man, I hate hidden fees. I hate it. Like, imagine if you go to the grocery store and you're picking out, you know, what you're gonna, you know, buy for food that week. You get to the cash register and you find out there's also a service fee. There's also all kinds of other fees. You know, this is similar. Like, well, if I'm picking a major and I'm signing up for courses that I likely have to take, then I find out, guess what? There's another $600-$700 added onto that. You know, those are unexpected hidden fees. That shouldn't be the experience of any student. I love what you're saying, Dr. Mike. Like, you should be able to come to class and have the opportunity to learn. And especially with the technologies at our hands right now, you know, institutions of learning and professors, instructors, everyone out there, like, there are really good tools. And I'm guessing Mike can point us towards some of those really good tools, not only in this segment, but you can check out his stuff and we'll drop links into our description. So if you're catching this on the podcast, you can get more info. But there is nothing more frustrating to me than hidden costs. And again, it's a huge barrier. We know that it is. What? What's that noise? It's true. It's the bell rings, Tim. You know what that means? Every day here on Busted Pencils, we do a segment called Democracy in Action. Today's Democracy in Action, aligned with core democratic values. You know what, Tim? What Dr. Mike Moore is doing and what he's bringing to the surface discussion here tonight isn't just about quality of public education. It's hitting a core democratic value of equality and truth. If you're out there and you're trusting education to be that opportunity for you, like Dr. Mike Moore said, it's part of the dream. Like, hey, I want to become something. I have a passion, an affinity towards learning to be an engineer or a computer scientist or whatever it is, right? I should trust that that institution is supporting that with opportunity and access. So core democratic values, equality, everybody should have access. Like Dr. Mike Moore said, shouldn't matter what kind of cultural capital you have. Shouldn't matter whether you're rich, whether, you know, you're working class, whether, you know, wherever you are at financially. If you're in school, if you're signed up, right, you're following your dream, like, let's support that. Let's lift you up. And you should be able to trust those institutions have your back. So truth on our end, transparency, no hidden costs. Let's go. Let's get with the times. Let's make learning about learning and not about another business opportunity for all kinds of extra parties to be, you know, overcharging. Nothing's free. Let's figure out how we can make it accessible and we can invest. Because remember what I always say, I borrow that phrase, commitment without currency is counterfeit. So we're really committed to all of our students, right? Let's put the money forward. There are all kinds of things like tuition and course fees and program fees. Put those towards making that you show up to class, just like Dr. Mike Moore said, you show up and you're ready to go, right? And that's not like there aren't kinds of hidden things you have to have figured out and done. in order to be at the same level everyone else is going to be entering that class at. Love it. So that's today's democracy in
action.
There
you go. Nice one, Johnny Lupinacci. Yeah. Look at that, Dr. Mike Moore's clap. Dr. Mike Moore, did you know that you were going to be the focus of Democracy in Action too, my friend?
I did not. This is a huge thing. I might actually have to retire from being a professional. I've hit the pinnacle of my career.
Oh, no, man. You got to keep it going. That's part of the democratic duty. Keep it rolling, my guy.
Just a couple of those terms, and just to go back to, so when we keep using this word access, right? And it is, it's been a huge word, you know, people need access to education. But with that, though, too, then comes, so I get access, I get admitted, I'm allowed in, and well, I show up for class, and now I figure out what books I have to buy. You started describing, though, Mike, like a situation where I would go to class and I already have my materials. Like, talk more about that model and how that works.
Yeah, so there's two different models of affordable access programs. One is a course by course where faculty decide to be part of it. And then there's an entire campus model. So every section, every student, every course. In the course by course model, it's mostly digital products. So if you're using a courseware or digital textbook, that's when you register for the class, you're charged for it on your Bursar account, and then it's automatically loaded into the learning management system for you. So you're just going to class on day one with access to the material. And then in the whole campus model, digital materials are automatically loaded into your LMS. And then physical books, if there are any, are either shipped to you to your off-campus address or available for you to pick up in the bookstore. So you're covered there. With the course-by-course model, not every course is using this particular model. In some places, it's only 30% of all sections or classes. Some places, it's 60%. So it varies from place to place. But these models are allowing students to have access to materials, unlike anything we've seen in the last 150 years of requiring course materials.
Johnny Lupinacci, you're just more in. Jump in there, man.
Man, I love it. I mean, this is like, I teach, Tim, so I love this because course materials are important. They bring, an important learning component to our learners. And I'll throw out there too, like what Dr. Mike Moore is saying, this is more than just having a collection of articles or just some books to sign, right? That's part of it. There is always reading, but there are other materials too. There's good podcasts out there. There's really great things that, if we don't bring them together and make sort of this, this multiple ways of engaging with learning the material, we're just not dressing the ways that hopefully our students had been taught by really great teachers out there that are K-12. But two, the way learning happens, right? We all learn from, like you talked today, Tim, we started to show off with YouTube video. So instructors can be creative and bring together, it's like a chef preparing a good meal. You're not only going to serve the main course. You're going to have what you do in class, your activities, your lectures. And accessibility is important, right? How can students get all these materials without it being a scavenger hunt? For the professor, for the instructor, or for the student, it just cuts out all that extra, I don't want to say labor because it's still labor to teach.
Yeah. Right?
But all the extra stuff that really, puts us into the rut of doing things the way we probably experienced them. It's like, well, I put it in the syllabus. Well, that's like one thing, but like you got to have more than just a selection of readings.
Right.
And also, let's really be intentional. Like really good teaching is about curating good material. So love these options and ways Mike is kind of reintroducing us to and reminding us that we can do differently and we could do better. I love that.
Mike, just thinking about that as we're coming in, Mike, I mean, you brought to my attention this whole idea of just realizing that the success of students is so dependent on their access to materials and bringing that home and realizing that too. And, on top of the tuition. Now, I just want to understand. So course by course is one way, but then the whole, there was this thing I saw, First Day Complete is also, it was my familiarity with one of these programs, which was our entire college participated in a First Day Complete give me a little rundown on how that works.
Sure. So First Day Complete is just the name of the Barnes & Noble education solution. Every company will have a different name for what they do. So it's, again, it's the campus-wide model. So generally the way that works is that there's a per credit hour fee, $16, $17, $18, $20, $22. It depends on what's being adopted at the campus at the current time. And every year that fee is reevaluated. So if you're taking three credits and it's $20 per credit hour, that's $60 for a class. You take five classes, it's $300. So you're getting access to all of your materials for $300. Now, the important part of these programs is that students have to have the ability to opt out. So as a student, Johnny can say, you know what? I don't want to be part of this. I want to go figure out what I need and where, if I can find it cheaper. So these programs are required to have opt out. So if you decide that you don't want to be part of this program, you can just opt out. In some places, it's like a one-click opt-out. In some places, it may be a little bit more difficult, but I think we're seeing across higher education, there's a desire and a drive to make opting out of these programs a lot easier for students. So you can just one-click and then go figure out. But the cool part is you have until the census date to opt back in if you decide that you can't find your materials any other place. So I think it's really great. And these programs are a mix of traditional publisher content and open educational resources. So the two go hand in hand. They're both really part of the future of course materials acquisition and delivery, traditional publisher content and open educational resources.
Mike, I got to say, I mean, right now there's a listener out there going, I did not know. Mike, where can somebody find more information? Your webpage is the best place to start?
Yeah, you can go to my website, coursematerialsresearch.com. Super easy. That has all of my current research and a blog where I talk about course materials in different aspects. I like to try to connect course materials and the idea of access to different things like retention theory, Tinto, Aston, learning by doing, all those other things, just the theory in education and what it means to have access.
Mike Moore, thanks for Busted Pencils. Johnny and Tim, back after the break. We're back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Numbers 855-752-4842. Dr. Mike Moore, access to course materials. Johnny, I said, met him at the conference, and I, like, as long as I've been teaching in college and stuff, didn't realize the kind of disconnect, you know, because I would just put in my syllabus, here's the book, here are the readings that you need, and kind of just say, hey, students, go get them, and didn't think about the fact that, you know, who didn't have access. I mean, some of them talked to me about that,
yeah,
but, you know, it just brought home to me. So that's why I was like, I'm like, Mike, I got to have you on the show because I want to talk about this. Because, Johnny, we talk about public education and access and college and learning and access to, and the way you connected that to those core democratic values. Like, this is why I knew there was something here that Dr. Mike Moore was going to be talking about.
Well, and I love it. And Tim, there's nothing I love more than a face-to-face connection, especially like you and Mike had, where you share a moment. You're really like, hey, it's all hands on deck when we're talking about quality public education. It's all the way from our early educators, you know, the people taking care of young children out there and teaching them, you know, what it means to be in community and be together as learners, but also as citizens. It goes all the way through traditional K-12 and into higher education. And I don't necessarily like that term, higher education, but you know what I mean? I mean, like our professional learning, how we're learning, whether it's, you know, whatever career path we're going into, we're learning to be experts in that area. We're learning, you know, the foremost information. So, you know, whether that's professional development or what it is, you know, I love that. When there's a personal connection and people who are working on that, you know, who believe it can be done better, who know that it can be done better, dedicate time and energy towards research, which is a really important aspect. We talk about it all the time. The era we're in with so much misinformation and disinformation, how we build trustworthy connections to making change.
Yeah. Right?
We do that with information. We do that as informed educators, as teachers, you know. Dr. Mike Moore talked about his brother, you know, Derek, who's a math teacher in Maine. I love my math teachers out there. You know, we don't just decide to teach differently one day. We have a wealth of experience. You know, we draw on literature, research in our field, math education. You know, we're always thinking, how can I do this better? Teachers out there, I know that's something you think about all the time. So love that you bust pencils with us. And love, Tim, that you and Mike met and that Mike's on the show. I can't wait to have him back.
Right.
Because, I mean, this is an important thing we're talking about all the time. Like, how do we make our courses engaging? And how do we not let school seep in where we do the same old thing? And I'm guilty of it too, Tim, where I like create my syllabus.
Right.
And the next thing I know, I'm like, wait, there's more to this. I need different ways to engage learners, different ways to connect content with where they're at and how they learn. And you know what? I love it. And it's so important because for years, we could easily slip into, well, you know, the kids these days.
Yeah.
And like, you know, but come on, get with it. Right. There's really great learning opportunity out there. There's all kinds of like ways to engage learners in content. Right. There are podcasts. There's music. There's YouTube. There's videos. There's all kinds of there are all kinds of resources. So I like that there are people like Dr. Mike Moore who research course materials and help provide us with that kind of, you know, information that helps us make those changes. Remember, we said change of instruction is directly linked to educators, to teachers talking to other teachers.
Exactly.
About the teaching. So love that we got to do that with Dr. Mike Moore tonight and with you, listener out there, you know, who's participating in the show, whether you call in or not. We know you're part of the show. So feel free. Give us a call anytime. You know, join the conversation. Bust some pencils with us. But Tim, you know what else? You can do a lot of face-to-face stuff.
Oh, there is a cool place for face-to-face, Johnny Lupinacci. I think I know what you're talking about.
That's right. Monocle Brewing Company, big time advocates of public education and always working hard to build community. You could go down to the Monocle Brewery Tap House in Madison or visit them up in Monocle, right? And you could talk about whatever you want to talk about, but especially public education. And they support that in strong democracy, right? The Monocle Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out Monocle Brewing Company where you can see their progressive beer.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it. Hey, check it out too. Susan texted us in for the show. Sorry, I was late to the party. Got a little party emoji. What a great topic. You always bring pertinent information to your audience. That's from Susan. Look at that, man. You know, I said when Mike and I met there and we started talking about this, I was just like, this is good stuff. Johnny, you want to add something there?
Well, speaking of pertinent information, Tim, I mean, like, let's not completely avoid the fact that, like, we're getting information at a rapid rate right now at a really important moment for the state of Wisconsin, a really important moment for the country. So we have the Wisconsin's fall primary, August 13th, plan to vote in this election, but every election, right? And also, let me throw out there, when we're talking pertinent information, the Republican National Convention is next week, Monday through Thursday, July 15th through the 18th. So Civic Media will broadcast live coverage each night from 7 to 8 p.m. Civic Radio Network or Civic Media Radio Network host Todd Alba will broadcast live from the convention each day, noon to 2, with analysis and commentary. I know, Tim, I'll be using the Civic Media app.
Absolutely.
Listening to that, because not only is that important for Wisconsin listeners, that's important for all of us tuned in around the country. And to be honest with you, around the world right now, this is a big moment for America.
This is a huge moment. And say, yeah, I mean, especially, I tell you what, we had a great 4th of July week. Lots of things kind of happened. You know, we talked about this and it's still going on. So the whole idea too, Civic Media, get that Civic Media app and you can just have access. Hey, we're talking about access. You want access? You want free access to your materials? Civic Media app gives you instant free access to all those materials that we do. Civic Media, love this show. Dr. Mike Moore, busting pencils with us. Hey, and how about Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, so coming good. Back a little, remember saying, Matt, you know, could bring this together, though, and realize, hey, we got a lot of work to do. And remember how we link this to, we said to your communities, the bedrock of democracy, the foundation, public education. Man, Johnny Lupinacci. Love busting pencils with you every night. Can't wait. Tomorrow night, hey, Rethinking Schools joins us. Jesse Agopian. See y'all tomorrow.